I'm Professor Marie Gertz, Head of Nursing. Welcome to ChatFest.
ChatFest e făcut la sucăsă.
I'm Associate Professor Snezana Kuslić. Welcome to ChatFest.
欢迎大家来到 ChatFest.
Hi, I'm John Thompson. I'm a nurse practitioner and welcome to ChatFest.
Welcome to ChatFest.
Hi, I'm Jo Martin, coordinator of the Master of Nursing Science program. Welcome to ChatFest.
Hello, and welcome to the inaugural ChatFest podcast. I'm Bronwyn Tarrant. In this episode, Philippa Marriott and Naomi Brockenshire talk about what international students in the Department of Nursing have shared about their lived experience of studying so far away from home, the struggles, the obstacles, and clear directions about what they think MDHS can do to help. But before we launch into that discussion, I'd just like to say this is the ChatFest podcast, which means we want international students to lead this podcast, to have a voice, to develop resources that's helpful for them, and to develop skills. We don't want to be the main feature of a ChatFest podcast. We want you to be. So if you'd like to be involved in making the monthly ChatFest podcast, contact me, bronwyn.tarrant@unimelb.edu.au. The other place you can find out about being involved in the ChatFest podcast is through Melbourne Plus. You'll find it listed under Interconnect, which basically is about connecting international students. Melbourne Plus is a volunteer program through UniMelb in which your participation will appear in your final transcript. So it's a really nice thing to have in your transcript because it will, again, give a bit of an edge over to your CV above other people's CVs, perhaps. So if you're interested in helping develop the ChatFest podcast every month, and by doing so, you'd be working with us in terms of we'll teach you about audio production, we'll teach you about editing software, we'll talk about audio engineering and mixing and so forth. If you'd like to get all of that, and get something on your transcript, please reach out to us. Okay, so let's hear from Philippa and Naomi. And we start by saying, Philippa, what feedback did we get from the international students in those focus groups?
One of the things that we heard feedback from was not being able to know what was happening in the year ahead. So there was planning for the year, they weren't sure when assignments would be, when placement would be. So then they couldn't factor in when they would be able to go back and see family and friends. And this created quite a lot of stress for some students, especially we've heard lots of people wanting to go back for weddings or family functions or haven't been home for a long time. And just having that planning so they could factor in when they could see family would make a big difference to their year.
Naomi, what else did we find out?
One of the things that the first years talked about quite extensively was financial pressures and having to obviously pay a lot of money to be here, but because of that, feeling under a lot of pressure throughout the year and how to sort of manage those financial stresses.
One of the financial stresses was finding work, wasn't it? And then that was complicated by not being able to have the right documentation. Do you remember, Naomi, that they couldn't get their working with children's checked or their NDIS checks because they needed to have known someone in the country for a year? So that on top of trying to find work that was suitable, having and also work that they wanted to enhance their nursing profession, but they couldn't do that until they'd done their placement. So that, I think, added quite a lot of financial pressure onto them.
It definitely did. And the paperwork was an interesting problem as well that we weren't aware of, and trying to come up with a solution as to how to find somebody that has known them for a year. And we came up with the idea that for future international students to have a point of reference in the Department of Nursing that they contact when they first apply, so they could have someone that is continually involved with their sort of application. And once they start here, they will have known that person via email, but still have known that person for over 12 months so that they are able to legitimately fill out those documents and have that paperwork finalised so they can get those jobs that are going to help them, which is excellent, I think. moving forward.
And I noticed just on that financial implications that this also made it very hard for our students, international students, to go on rural placements. They actually wanted to experience going on a rural placement, but A, they didn't get support through accommodation. They had to still pay for their rent in the city and then pay double rent when they're there. As well as paying full public transport fees and other things. So there's a lot more financial, apart from the fees. Obviously, you told us how much you paid, so the fees are considerably larger, but it does limit opportunities as well, such as rural placements.
And just picking up on the rural placements as well, one of the students did raise the point that there were lots of opportunities for really good jobs in the rural areas as well. So they were really keen to get out there and experience rural placements, but also see the job opportunities that lie in those rural areas, because they were quite well paid and gave really good experience as well.
Another point that came up for both year groups when we spoke to the first years and the second year international students was that emotional support. Just having someone to talk to, be it if it was a peer or a mentor or a senior nursing student or an academic. Quite often as staff, we're referring them to CAPS, the counselling services, but then they have found that really difficult to get into. So actually having that emotional support, as a few of you said, it's really hard being away from home, being away from your loved ones, working in a different university to maybe where you did your undergrad, and just having one or two people that you can know you could go to.
And we also, following on from that, had the idea of linking international students with members of staff in the department, again, sort of like with the visa application, but to have a point of contact, almost like the academic advising program, where they could come to talk about, as you said, just all those things, but there was a point of contact that made them feel connected to the department and to the university, but also gave them support outside their immediate sort of classes and lecturers.
Related to financial constraints, it came about that some international students, because they have so many outgoings, are actually struggling at times for food and for feeding themselves. And we do want to acknowledge that this is a problem. And a couple of you gave some really great ideas of where you can get support and meals. I know we were told that at the Sikh mosques, I think there's six, aren't there, in Melbourne, provide a breakfast, lunch and dinner. But obviously we then went on and just discussed the stigma and what it felt for students to be getting these meals. And that was enlightening yet sad.
I can't remember. What were some of the other places? The Hare Krishna place in Swanson Street. They provide a really good meal for, it's like $7 or $8, three courses maybe. And that's a really popular place to go. The university does have a few different options when it comes to either cheap or free meals being provided for students.
We are aware that a lot of international students seem to either live right in the middle of the city or they might live quite a long way out. So it can be quite a long commute. Plus you add the finance on of public transport.
Which reminds me of another point that was raised about compulsory classes and some being online and some being in person, and students living quite a long distance away, having to travel all the way in, sometimes 1 or 2 hours for a class, and then have to travel back and do that multiple times because all the in-person classes aren't on the same day, for example, and it puts quite a large burden on them in terms of having to travel long distances when they don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And for such as, you know, coming into uni for just an hour or 2 hours as opposed to coming in for an entire day. So that would go with the planning and the timetabling, and for us to consider that some people come a really long way just for an hour's class, and whether or not that's feasible or fair, or if there's something that we could do to timetable things differently.
And that was also one of the final years discussed with us, the unspoken assumptions of being an international student. So we were aware of that as a department, but I think it was very good to be reminded. There's this assumption that international students are wealthy. They let us know that sometimes they were being labelled as an international student whilst on clinical placement rather than just a nursing student. And sometimes they found that quite frustrating. And there was almost felt like there was sort of unspoken judgment around them being an international student than a domestic student. Can you remember any of the other assumptions that we discussed?
The international students, whilst on placements, people came with that assumption that because they could afford to be here and they could afford to pay for the course and they could afford to live in a country and that they must come from a wealthy background, without any acknowledgement that they're actually working incredibly hard and don't come from a wealthy background. And, as you said, some judgment going on there with students, which they found really uncomfortable and quite hurtful.
That then led on to conversations of this sort of almost spoken judgment with some of the international students going to the doctor's practice to see a GP or calling up an insurance company to get car insurance or medical insurance. As soon as the word international student came about, they were sort of asked to wait, or they were asked, they were treated differently to other Australian residents. And one student let us know that on her private health cover card, she'd removed the international student bit because she was actually being treated differently knowing she was an international student. And I'll be honest, I wasn't aware of that.
And it was, if they didn't have a Medicare card, basically they were told they had to wait.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure where that practice would have come about, but it's quite shocking to hear that that's going on in the GP practices.
And don't be ashamed to ask for help. I think this is doesn't matter if you're an international student or a domestic student. Currently times are difficult with the cost of living has increased hugely since I've lived here in 17 years. So do not be ashamed to ask for help or speak to your peers or reach out to any members of our staff, and we can keep your concerns obviously confidential, but at the same time we do not want you to feel shame to look up these resources.
We're really aware that international students isn't a homogenous group, that there's an abundance of countries representative, and even within those countries there are different cultures. So it's international students is heterogeneous, and we want to embrace and address all people from all cultures. And ChatFest isn't just for the majority from a particular country. It's for everyone. And if you feel at any time while you're listening to this podcast or while you're going through the resources and you're thinking, no, I'm not being represented, talk to us, raise your hand, come and talk to us. We might even put you in front of a mic and so you can be heard. We really want to hear your thoughts and support you.
And our community comprises of people from Bangladesh,
Zimbabwe,
Bhutan,
Vietnam,
Botswana,
United States of America,
British Antarctic Territory,
Thailand,
Brunei Darussalam,
Taiwan,
Cambodia,
Sri Lanka,
Canada,
South Africa,
Chile,
Singapore,
China,
Saudi Arabia,
Colombia,
Korea,
Germany,
Qatar,
Hong Kong,
Philippines,
India,
Pakistan,
Indonesia,
Nigeria,
Iran,
Nepal,
Jamaica,
Myanmar,
Kenya,
Mauritius,
Macau,
Malaysia. Wherever you're from,
you're in our community.
After today, you won't hear our voices on these podcasts too much, because we want this space to be all about you. ChatFest is about you, the international students. So lend your voice to these podcasts, lend your voice to this community. Join us for a chat at ChatFest.
Thanks so much for listening to the inaugural ChatFest podcast. Again, if you're interested in being involved, volunteering and helping to produce the podcast, look at Melbourne Plus under Interconnect. And just as a little hint, there's always a little perler at the end of the podcast. Until next time.
Hi, I'm Jo Martin from